I'm Dom Van Natta. It's time for Three Stories You Should Know.
Caught by Carter. And he's out of bounds with a first down, and there's life to get some points for the Eagles yet.
That sound from the Cleveland Browns 5-0 win over the Philadelphia Eagles, another thrilling edition of NFL preseason football. That's where we're going to start our all-NFL edition this week. I'm joined by the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Welcome back, Nora.
Hi, Don. Thanks for having me.
And by Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Hello again, Charlotte.
Hi, Don. Thrilled to be here.
Thanks. We're thrilled to have you back. Every Labor Day weekend, we say it. The NFL preseason is a bad, never-ending nightmare. Each team is forced to play 4 preseason games, 5 if you have to play in the Hall of Fame game. The games are meaningless and boring and cause too many unnecessary injuries. Never mind season ticket holders are forced to pay full price for 2 preseason games that no one, not even the players fighting for the final roster spot, would want to watch. Amazingly, 40 years ago, when the NFL played a 14-game regular season, there were 6 preseason games. I think 6 is the number of preseason games you have to watch to get out of purgatory. So we should just abolish all preseason games, right?
Well, I'd get rid of it just so that I had to work less. I mean, I'm all for it. I don't want to. I had to watch Patriots, Giants, and it's brutal out there, guys.
Have you figured out some strategies for passing the time?
So late in the game, I was just sort of looking at Twitter and scrolling the internet, and then I look up and the third string quarterback, Danny Etling, has sprung free on a naked bootleg for an 86-yard touchdown. So this kid is just running full speed down the field. And there was this fleeting moment of incredible joy. I mean, even Bill Belichick was smiling and high-fiving the kid, who's probably not going to make the roster or even really the practice squad. But other than that, and I will tell you, that high wore off real quick. I mean, there's just nothing to it. Belichick pulled out the challenge flag in the fourth quarter, I think just out of spite.
Charlotte, are you in the no preseason camp as well?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, what's the point? Like, I never understood why this exists. Because you have a sport where the injury rate is, what, 100%? You're basically asking them to put themselves on the line for, like, I don't even know if fans want it. Like, I really think it's one of the most senseless things in all of sports that NFL has a preseason.
Yeah, and the trend is the Rams sat all their stars through the entire preseason, right? Jared Goff sat, Todd Gurley didn't play a single down, and McVay was like, it's an imperfect deal, but that's what we're going to do. Here's my proposal, guys. I think they should have a few joint team practices in August, maybe one scrimmage, because players get thousands of reps in training camp. Allow teams to carry 65 players into the regular season and let coaches use meaningful games to narrow their rosters to 53 players by, let's say, October 1st. I think that's
what we should try. Oh, I kind of like that, Don.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's what we should try. Nora, what have you got for us?
So I am going to make like Aaron Rodgers, which seems to be a good thing this week because he just had a Brinks truck of cash dumped on his front lawn, and tell everyone to relax. In this case, about the NFL's new helmet rule. The rule that's been implemented is that a player lowering and leaning with his helmet to initiate contact with another player on offense or defense is a 15-yard penalty. And for the first couple of preseason games, this led to a lot of frustration and a lot of pontificating about how, you know, football is turning into flag football and the game as everybody knows it is dead. So, one, this is not resulting in any sort of wholesale change to how football is being played. And second, I just feel like we've lost sight of the fact that this was a rule that was implemented for a really good reason, which was player safety. Do you guys think that I have lost my mind or that this isn't that big of a deal?
I'm with you, Nora. I think that fairly soon people will even forget that this is a new rule or that this is a problem. And I think that, you know, scientists are like, hey, we've noticed that when you hit someone like this and your entire body is aligned, you can really, really mess up your body. And so, no, Nora, I don't think you've lost your mind, at least in regards to this one specific topic.
Well, fair.
I'm going to disagree with both you guys. Look, I agree. It's an earnest rule. It was done for the right reasons. There were a record high 291 concussions last year, and the league determined a majority, a vast majority, come from helmet-to-helmet hits. So they did it for all the right reasons. But for me, it's a vague rule. It's going to rely too much on the guesswork of players and referees, and it's going to make us yearn for the clarity of the catch rule. I just think that there's so much potential here. And look, the first game that gets determined by this vague rule that fans don't understand, that referees are not calling uniformly across all of the Sunday afternoon games, people are going to just go nuts.
That's certainly fair. And what I will say is that there is this sort of frustrating tendency to kind of act as if this thing that is in some cases clear as mud is crystal clear. And I think they do that on purpose to sort of try to assuage people's concerns, but it only ends up adding to them. I just think that the potential costs of those types of hits, you know, they're worth trying to take out of the game and they're worth some confusion. And honestly, if a game gets decided because of one of these, but it is a safer game, I'm willing to pay that price. So that's why I think that, you know, people just need to chill out.
No, that's a good point. And when there was a 64% drop in these calls after week three of the preseason, you know, the NFL was making a big deal out of that. But, you know, from where I sit, when a new rule is whistled less by referees and it's called a good thing, that's not necessarily a good thing for the league or the competition committee. Okay, we're going to move on now to Charlotte. It's your turn.
I want to talk about Jalen Ramsey, cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was one of the most incredible players to watch, both on the field in terms of his ability last year, but also how he ran his mouth. He was the king of trash talk. The reason I bring this up now is because there have been a few profiles done on him. Clay Skipper at GQ did a Q&A, and Mina Kimes at ESPN wrote an incredible profile of him. And what's interesting to me is how much media he's doing and how smart he is about it. But he's also so funny about it. Like, with Clay, he asked during the interview, what's the Atlanta quarterback's name? And it's like, and Clay goes, Matt Ryan. And then Ramsey goes, I think Matt Ryan's overrated. And it's like, it's the most incredible shade. And I love it because the NFL is typically so tight-lipped. You know, guys are afraid to say anything because they'll get in trouble. Or the league is so transient that you trash talk someone and end up on the same roster with them the next year. But, you know, the NBA has gotten pettier and pettier, and there's just always this sort of interpersonal drama. And I think it's very fun that Jalen Ramsey is bringing that back to the NFL in a league where most people are just experts at word salad, to say nothing.
Nora, what do you think?
I love it. He does seem so adept at throwing shade in a way that sounds very native to sports media, which I think then kind of works in his favor because the people that he's talking to understand it and are kind of used to it in a way that maybe amplifies it. But in general, he's just funny.
Yeah, he is. He's hilarious. And everybody loves a trash-talking, hot takes cornerback, right? I mean, and you made the point, Charlotte, it's a really good one. There's something very NBA about him. And I mean that as the highest compliment. The NFL needs more guys like Ramsey. He said to Clay, it was really funny, he talked about Josh Allen, the Bills' first-round draft pick, the quarterback. He just said, trash. Just trash. Just called him trash. So that's a stupid draft pick to me. We play them this year, and I'm excited as hell. I mean, you know, what's not to love?
I hope we get more of it, but I think it's critical that you be able to back it up with your actions on the field, too.
For sure. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Thank you, Nora.
Absolutely.
And Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you, Don.
If you like what you're hearing, take a second to subscribe to the Only a Game podcast, and then sit back and look forward to a fresh episode full of surprising stories and expert analysis every week. What gives baseball cards?